The demon of electricity. The violent explosion in heaven occurred when the Demiurge imposed himself upon the eternal realms. He initiated the process of materialization and the cycles of time, which were the ripples in the ocean of being he caused, the disturbance in the force that threatens to imprison all in the lowest density of vibration, crystallizing their souls in caskets of leaden bodies. This rapist of being, the Demiurge, violated the sacred feminine of Mary Magdalene, and we are subject to his will to this day. Electricity is a phenomenon that is often associated in occultism with the divine masculine or the Father God, the positive or yang polarity in relation to the yin polarity of magnetism. Both forces, if such they may be called, are ill-defined by profane science and thus serve as largely unintelligible placeholders in their jugglery of wooden abstractions subordinated to abstract quality, i.e. number, and bereft of any sacred dimension of numerology, Pythagorean or Orphic Kabbalah. The process of westernization, which may be considered a process of degeneration equivalent to the will of the Demiurge, has submerged the sacred science of cymatics and numerology, sacred geometry and other sacred sciences in the sewage of profane utilitarianism, purely human, all too human consciousness restricted to phenomenal spatio-temporal causality and to this alone. Westernization is demiurgic, the offspring of the Demiurge and the illusory world of Maya which he has created or rather plagiarized, as he is merely a plagiarist incapable of independent or autonomous creation. The force called electricity is the Demiurge in a certain form, distributed as a pervasive substance or presence inhering in all things as a primum mobile superimposed upon that which preceded his manifestation in the eternal planes. Thus we are immersed in the substance of what in Judeo-Christianity is often referred to as God, the will of the Demiurge, his mode of manifestation within the phenomenal plane. This substance is indeed ubiquitous at a certain dimensional level, from the fifth heaven downwards, within the phenomenal planes of existence, and the influence of this substance, what could in the vulgar terms be called demonic bukake, the ejaculate of the Demiurge, his ideoplasm pervades our perceived reality. This ubiquitous substance is the mode of existence of the great architect of the universe in Freemasonic terms, and indeed it can truly be said that God is with us in this life of mundane striving. It cannot be said necessarily to be a good thing either, for this God is an inferior deity who violated the sacred feminine of Sophia and has kept prisoner the souls of all sentient life on the earth, which, under the transformative presence of this entity, has brought all of that which is higher to a lower level of existence in low-density vibration, materialized as an earthbound soul. Ubiquitous indeed. A force to be reckoned with, to be combated as an antagonistic violation of a harmonious world. Perhaps the plug should be pulled and the lights shut off, and only then will the purblind denizens of Gaia be able to truly see reality when the illusion machine is short-circuited. Like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain, the Wizard of Zion, the Jew, conceals himself behind the rainbow curtain of Maya, the veil of Isis behind which he hides to serve his Demiurge master, who powers his illusion machine and traps the souls of all sentient life in his slave matrix of Zion. Dorothy, the sacred feminine or soul of the Aryan race, has finally come to an understanding of the matrix. She has integrated into herself all aspects of her soul, thought, emotion and action into a complete soul which is her true self. She ventures into the Emerald City, the Green Land, and confronts the Master of Puppets, the Illusion Maker with his Demiurgic Machine of Voz, the alleged strength of God, the Great and Powerful. Thus God is exposed as a lie, as a plagiaristic violator of the Emerald City, an installed machine who operates according to his mechanical workings, which are manipulated by the Jew, his earthly servant. Dorothy pulls the veil of Isis away from the blind citizens of Oz, who with her end up recognizing the truth. She has overcome the Wicked Witch of the West with Glenda, the Good Witch of the East, the Sacred Feminine assisting her, and has destroyed the Hidden Hand of Evil, which enslaves this earth with the pure water of truth, causing the lie to dissipate and melt into non-existence. The legions of the Demiurge have enslaved Centaur and transformed him into the Time Lord Kronos through encasing him in the icy rings, which serve as a transceiver of his gravitational waves, trapping the denizens of Earth in the lowest density so they can be then vampirized by the reptilian entities who serve the Demiurge and operate on his wavelength, just as the Wicked Witch of the West operates to enslave the masses of the world of Oz through fear and through her agents, the flying monkeys and soldiers who guard her segregated castle. Thus, in the allegory of Oz, the strength of God is the illusory strength of a charlatan, and his mode of enslavement is that of machines running on his vital being, electricity, or rather himself manifesting himself through machines which then serve as an extension of his will. In the movie of Stephen King, Maximum Overdrive, the machines of America, where the story plays itself out, are activated by the passage of an alien presence over the Earth. The machines are used in the same way as the machine of illusion in The Wizard of Oz. They become vehicles of the will of an alien presence itself, mysterious and unknown, an alien or aliens with a conscious, malevolent intent with regard to the human and animal population of Gaia. The machines are activated and violently assault the hapless humans who must defend themselves in order to survive. Stephen King's theme of machines being possessed by an entity is echoed also in his short story The Mangler, in which a laundry machine becomes possessed by an entity after a person fell into it, feeding the machine with his blood. The blood is the life. Subsequently, the machine perpetuates the cycle of abuse, seeking to feed upon the blood of the workers. This motif was written of also in Stephen King's work Christine, where a classic car named Christine becomes possessed by the soul of a dead man, and its inheritor, who purchases it in a condition of rusty degradation, becomes over time and exposure taken over by the entity, the car having an influence upon its possessor, which, rather than the human owner utilizing the vehicle inverts roles and utilizes the owner to carry out its will. This body-snatching phenomenon is almost certainly a reality and is spoken of in The Body Snatchers by Susan B. Reed. In that work, she illustrates her own experiences in copious detail of how reptilian aliens existing in a non-visible inner space, in the astral planes, have taken over the bodies of others and or work with others to utilize them as a vehicle of their will and to facilitate their diabolical plan for the extermination of humanity and takeover of the planet. Perhaps the alien presence alluded to in Maximum Overdrive is the coterie of reptilians who are the seraphim of the Jewish book of witchcraft called the Tanakh and Talmud. Perhaps Jehovah is their leader, or perhaps their true leader is the Demiurge, who is electricity itself, pervading the lower planes from the fifth heaven downwards and keeping all trapped within his matrix. The notion of the matrix, as popularly presented in the somewhat contemporary movie of the same name, has uncertain origins but is tangible in the Gnostic mythos. The archons spoken of therein may be these entities who are attempting a takeover of the earth to feed upon the souls of its denizens. The Jewish agents who construct the material form of the matrix on this earth have harnessed electricity in its construction, perhaps as early as ancient Egypt, or perhaps they stole that once more harmonious power technology of Egypt, plagiarizing and perverting it to their ends, utilizing explosively generated power, the will of their demiurge god, to power their technologies of enslavement on the earth plane. The violence of their GOTU, augmented by their own violence, a materialized transformation of a mysterious force of aggression which seeks control through its devouring influence as it travels throughout the cosmos. We are now living in the panopticon of the Jewish slave matrix, whose ubiquitous telepresence keeps trapped within its slaves, monitored round the clock in all of their movements, and soon to be, the puppet master's intent, monitored and controlled once chipped through the cybernetic artificial intelligence control grid. Or perhaps what is perceived through Western eyes, through lowest density, is not artificial at all, at least in the sense of being of human design, but is rather the artifice of the Demiurge's intelligence, the allegedly all-knowing omniscience of the all-seeing eye of Judeo-Masonry, the architect of destruction to whom they have attributed the label God. The cybernetic control system operates on the basis of information and seeks to make all an object of power knowledge, reducing all to quantized information which can be controlled and managed according to algorithms in their information processing machines. Aristotle referred to slaves as animate tools, and indeed this is what the Jews look upon the goyim as: cattle, animate tools to exploit for their bioenergy. Within the panopticon of the information system of Zion, all are to be reduced through countless dysgenic means to Zions, in the words of Tim Rifot, zombie installations operating negatively, inharmoniously according to the destructive will of the Demiurge and his minions, Jury and the Black Magician priests who seek the enslavement of the Earth. The movie The Matrix, wherein all humans are encased in bubbles, their energy drained from them and fed upon by entities of a machine-like quality, may indeed be predictive programming to condition the masses to view the transhumanized world of cybernetics as the new normal. Initially, according to the gradualism of Jury's dialectical deception, the masses are flattered into thinking they will be a recipient of some great benefit through the wonders of technology, but the eighth wonder of the world of nanotechnology is presented as a pleasant illusion, the Internet of Things, in which all can interact and immerse themselves in the false reality of the Zion Matrix. Just as in the movie They Live, they, the black magicians of Zion, live to the extent the living dead can be said to live, and we, the sheep or cattle, sleep, immersing ourselves in the pleasant dreams of an illusory world, the world of the Demiurge, Maya, and are simultaneously fed upon by the vampiric entities who operate the cybernetic matrix, perhaps themselves under the control and influence of the demon of electricity. Helena Petrovna Blavatsky in The Secret Doctrine refers to electricity as an entity. Her just castigation of the Judeo-Christian black magicians reveals not only her insight into reality but her allegiance to truth, although she may not have had the entire truth. Rudolf Steiner, the founder of Anthroposophy, who was an adherent of Blavatsky's ideas, predicted the creation of the Internet. He may hence have been a Jewish insider steeped in Masonic dogma, presenting a revelation of the method, but his warnings as to its malevolence are poignant, that it is a spider's web in which all are to be caught through the beguilement of its shimmering strands, and which would then co-opt and take over those caught within its web. Once caught, they could then be utilized as an energetic source to vampirize for these entities. Yet more predictive programming of the demiurgic takeover by way of machines and the electricity they require to run can be seen in the Terminator movies, which present an apocalyptic future in which humans must fight against machines for survival. In the original Star Trek episode The Return of the Archons, a planet reminiscent of Earth is enslaved, and all of its residents adhere to a mindless religion which permits no questioning or thought, and wherein all must smile perpetually in order to be permitted to eke out an existence worshipping the One. Captain Kirk and Spock descends to the Earth disguised as fellow denizens of the village, wherein the story unfolds and ultimately revealed that the Earth is enslaved by a machine concealed in a hidden room, using holograms to deceive the people into thinking they've heard the voice of God. This is also a theme in the movie THX 1138, the first movie of George Lucas, in which all humans must be obedient slaves in the mega city, carrying out their tasks as technicians operating machinery, serving the system and machine, inverting the priority of man and machine and becoming a mere extension of it. The religion of the city is based upon productive efficiency, reminiscent of Marxism with the Catholic aesthetic. In it, the workers must go to confessional before a holographic image of a priest to confess their sins of failure to uphold production quotas. As Oswald Spengler said, Christianity is the grandmother of Bolshevism, and the movie illustrates the synthesis of these two apparently divergent creeds, one containing the illusion of spirituality, the other jettisoning it in favor of atheistic materialism. Both Jewish, serving the Demiurge. These movies and books are all Gnostic and have been given much representation by Jury in their media, most of which were written or created by Jews. Why then, it may be asked, does Jury adhere to a religion of demiurge worship while simultaneously and paradoxically presenting themselves as its opposition, and why is it they stigmatize the Catholic Church as the ultima causa of the slave matrix? In the opinion of the writer, this is simply a transference tactic of shifting blame toward a scapegoat, one they have themselves created in its origin and use as a patsy for their chaotic action, creating the chaos with their leftist praxis, the implementation of their distorted version of truth, and then having their Christian agents in the church react to their chaos, putting the brake on it, imposing tyranny on the populace in the name of quelling unrest and God. This is the demiurgic dialectic in operation, where Jury plays the rogue element who abandoned their God, the Demiurge, and the Christian contingent seek to bring them back into the fold, converting them to Christ, the rebellious children of God. Gnosticism, as Miguel Serrano wrote of in a letter to an attempted plagiarist of his work Nimrod de Rosario, the plan of the Jew and the demiurge, the demon, the enemy, is to preach escapism. For esoteric Hitlerism, for me, there is only a corruption on the surface, a bad copy clothed over with the film of Maya. Hitler and the SS believed in the possibility of reversing entropy. In any instant of the Yuga of Heroes it is possible to rebuild Thule, to return to the golden age of first Hyperborea. Hence for esoteric Hitlerism, the only legitimate opposition to the evil horde now existent, in their combat with the Demiurge entails a combat against his cybernetic control grid and those fleshly agents who are the wizards of Zion behind the curtain. The only recourse available at this time in the nadir of the Kali Yuga is to combat the enemy spiritually through the magic of Amor and physically through unplugging the electrical grid and severing the silver cords of the robots of the Demiurge, his material agents on Gaia. Only then can the Demiurge be defeated and a new golden age arise from the ashes of Zion.